Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys. Lee, Keys, and Evan Real Talk. Oh, man, we got a big show coming for y'all today. I know normally we do the Wednesday thing, but our calendars, schedules kind of got conflicted a little bit. But tonight, UFC 257 preview show. Yeah, we about to get into it. We're talking everything UFC 257 today. It's a great day. This is the first big card of the year. And for those that didn't know, it's the return of the notorious Conor McGregor as he comes back and faces Dustin Poirier. This is going to be a good, hopefully it's going to be a good fight. It has the makings of being a good fight, but we have to see what kind of style that Poirier will employ during this fight. And basically, I can't wait. A lot of good fights on the undercard. There's definitely going to be a lot of hype surrounding this fight because it's Conor McGregor. It's his return. So, it's going to be great. We have Dan Hooker versus Dan Hooker taking on Michael Chandler in his first fight in the UFC. So that should be a good scrap. I think that scrap, the winner of the Hooker Chandler will fight the winner of Poirier McGregor, and probably they'll be the one that get the hold on. Hello. What's going
hello,
on?
Hello.
What's up, Evan?
How you doing, man? Can you hear me?
I can hear you good, man. You sound perfect.
Beautiful, beautiful. I heard you talking about the Chandler fight and everything.
Yeah, man. I was telling people that this card shapes out to be basically a mini tournament for the probably the number one contender for Khabib's belt. And we got two good fights. We got Conor versus Poirier 2, and we got Chandler and Dan Hooker. So man, I just can't wait, man. I think it has a chance to be a really, really interesting night tonight. A really interesting night. There's some good fights on the undercard. There's some fights that we talked about in our group chat that probably should have been on the main card instead of on the prelims. But, you know, you never know what the UFC be thinking. Sometimes if somebody they really like, they'll put them on the main card so they can get a little exposure. And I think the guy that they wanted to get some exposure actually got cut. So that kind of hurt a little bit, but I think we're in for a good night tonight. But the one thing I do have to ask, and I think Keys brought it up earlier this week, is what's up with the time? It's like super late.
Yeah, how it's not a morning card like the rest of them were.
Yeah, or mid-afternoon.
And it's interesting too, because I was saying that a couple weeks ago how pretty much most of the Fight Island cards that you saw, except maybe the UFC 256, which I actually don't even know if that was in Fight Island. I want to say that was at the Apex. But most of these cards that we saw in 2020 on Fight Island were at different times. None of them were it was either in the afternoon or it was, you know, dinner time main cards, you know, 7 p.m. main cards, like at the latest. this is, I'm pretty sure, the only one that has been aired at, you know, time, you know, U.S. times, where it's, you know, 10 p.m. main cards that we're used to. And I was just wondering how they were able to pull that off.
Because if I'm thinking right, Abu Dhabi, they are, I know England is 5 hours ahead of East Coast. I want to say Abu Dhabi, I want to say they're 7 hours ahead of the East Coast. I mean, yeah, ahead of the East Coast. I don't understand why they would. I don't understand that, bro. Because I thought the midday was great. The midday actually is great to me because I still got basically my whole night. I didn't like the timing of the Magni card because that was like early in the morning. But I did kind of like the midday where it started with about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then we ran to, you know, to the early evening. I did like that, but I don't know, man. I don't understand the timing of this one.
I will tell you exactly why. The reason why Connor's card is at U.S. time, 10 p.m. main card start, is because, like most of us, you know, most adults, we still got to work on the weekends. So, therefore, I know it's different for, like, you know, other countries, but for us, 10 o'clock, most of us, and by the time Connor is on the pay-per-view, it's going to be like 11:30, 12 o'clock. Most people are going to be home by then, so they have nothing to worry about. So he wants to make sure that everyone's home, everyone's buying the pay-per-view. He wants all the effing fans to be able to watch Connor fight. That's what I think. Because I think if it's 10 o'clock at night for us, then it's like sometime in the morning for everyone else. That's my thoughts. I think he's trying to just make sure that no one's going out and are partying instead of watching the fights.
But the thing with that is like it starts my time 5 o'clock, and that's the prelim, right?
Yeah,
I mean, the prelim starting at.
Press.
Yeah. So that's still kind of late, but that's neither here nor there, man. Hey, what's going on, fellas? It's been a while since we've been on. A lot has happened since we've been on. How you doing, Keys?
I'm doing good, bro. Hanging in there. How y'all doing?
I'm good, man. My birthday was Thursday, dog. Turned 50.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I know I couldn't.
Happy 50th,
I couldn't do
bro.
Anything.
Happy 50th.
Hey, thanks, my man. I really appreciate it, dog. I really couldn't do anything. Yeah, bro. you know, I really couldn't do anything, but, you know, I was here with my family. So, you know, we did a little cake and ice cream and, you know, little stuff like that. But, you know, man, I'm just grateful and humble to be able to be here. And, you know, like I put on my Twitter post, live every day to the fullest, man. How you doing, Evan?
Oh, man. I'm doing great. Honestly, you know, every day's a new day, you know, a new day to start something new, start fresh, all that jazz. But, no, today's a good one. You know, I had my therapy session earlier, so very happy to get that done. You know, let the people know that mental health is very important. Always take care of it. And now, here, getting the chance to talk to you guys nice and early. On the day of the card, which is incredible. This is awesome to talk about it. It just gets me even more excited with how close we are. Life could not be better right now, my friends, truly.
Go ahead, Keith. We haven't had a fight day show in a while.
Yeah, I was. I was going to say, I don't think we've had a fight day show in months, at least. I don't even remember the last card where we did a fight day card. You know, we've been doing, I mean, we've been sticking to our Wednesday shows, which is obviously a good thing, at least to me. I'm sure the listeners like that, too, because it's consistent. But it just takes away from our fight day shows. But this one was kind of important.
Yeah, cause I think me and you used to we used to do a Friday night show the day before big cards, and then we did a couple of fight day shows, and I thought the fight day shows actually we were like really really especially if it was a big card, It was fun. They were really, really fun. Because actually we got to saw the – that was when in the good old days of the weigh-in show. You know, we had a pre-fight show. But we don't get all that no more, though, man. The pre-fight thing has definitely changed since going over to ESPN. I think Fox had the leg up with the pre-fight stuff, and they did a better job. But look, man, let's jump into it, man. We got this card. I'm gonna come to Keys first on this because he had an issue with one of the fights not being on the main card. So I'm gonna give him a minute or two to voice his frustration. Keys, talk to me about Khalil Roundtree not being on the main card, bro. All
right. So the thing is this, right? And I'm actually kind of sick and tired of having to say these things because it seems like every time we say these things, they end up panning out. In this case, I'm not saying this is a prediction, but every time we do say things on the show, all of a sudden it ends up happening. So whatever, you know, it might sound like me complaining, but every time I, you know, every time there's a complaint or an idea, it comes to fruition. So anywho, I mean, I think the card placement is suspect. I mean, having two fights from the female divisions, I don't know the divisions off the top of my head, but having two, you know, female division fights on the main card, I think is a huge mistake. I know that probably sounds sexist, but that's not where I'm going with it. That's not where I'm going with it. I just feel like that's, you know, for a card of this magnitude, especially, I just think, you know, you got to put on some of your guys that really put on a show for a card like this. And I feel like Khalil Roundtree is one of those guys. You know, he always puts on a good fight. You know, you rarely ever see him in a snooze of a fight. You know what I mean? Even if he loses, you know, you still have a good fight even when he loses. So, and he always looks, you know, he always makes weight. He always looks great. You know, you never see him on an off day. I mean, if you just, all you got to do is just look at him at weigh-ins. Look at Khalil Roundtree. Look at his physique at the weigh-ins. He's not on the main card, a guy like that. You could tell the work that he puts in, and he's not on the main card. You have Jessica Eye on the main card. This is my issue with this because it's not even the fact that it's the female division. It's who it is of the female division. That's what bothers me. Jessica Eye, you know what I think of when I see that? Her getting KO'd stiff. She got KO'd stiff by a head kick probably a year ago. And now she's like the third fight down on the main card. Man, really?
Yep.
Really? And Khalil Roundtree is on the prelims. What are we doing here? When I think of Khalil Roundtree, I think of him dominating what's-his-face that came up from the
Eric
other
Anders.
Division. Yes, exactly. When I think of Khalil Roundtree, I think of fights like that. You know what I mean? Like, and that's just crazy. I can't believe it. You know, he's – I want to say he's in the light heavyweight division. And he's a total sleeper fighter of the division. And the fact they don't put on guys like that on the main card and they're having, you know, fighters like Jessica Eye who got KO'd stiff a year ago, you know, with respect like that high up on the card, I just feel like it's wrong to me. And I feel like it's a slap in the face, you know, to your fighters who, you know, are actually high-level fighters. I don't even think Jessica Eye is a high-level fighter. You know what I mean? I feel like I don't know what it is with her. Maybe because she kind of talks a lot. You know, they try to push her to the forefront. You know, I would expect nothing less, but I don't know. Khalil Roundtree should be on the main card, definitely. You know, even with the fact that the guy he's fighting is more or less an unknown fighter, you know, even though it's not like, oh, he's fighting a big name heavyweight, it's not like we would see Khalil Roundtree versus, what's that? There's a couple guys in light heavyweight that I could have told you. It's not like we're seeing Khalil Roundtree versus, you know, one of these top light heavyweights like I'd like to be seeing. But even with that, he should still be up there. So I just think that's a mistake.
And actually, I'm looking at the card myself. I don't mind Amanda Ribas being as the kicking off the main card, but who is Andrew Sanchez? And all right, Evan, I'm gonna come to you because you normally know these kind of lesser known fighters a little more than I do. But who is this Andrew Sanchez versus Mahmoud Maradov? I mean, are they worthy of being on the main card?
Yes and no. So that fight was the replacement for the guy who got cut from the UFC for doing some sneaky stuff. So Andrew Sanchez, he is actually, what's kind of crazy is he won the Ultimate Fighter, number 23 in the light heavyweight division. He actually beat Khalil Rountree before Khalil kind of found his way. Andrew Sanchez, he's a good fighter, but he's not been able to find success against top-level names. Like, for example, he fought Anthony Smith, and he was doing pretty good, but then he got head kick knockout. Then he took on Marvin Vettori, and they went to a decision, but he's unanimous for Marvin. But he is coming off a KO win, so, you know, he's got some stock coming in this fight. And then Mohamed Murad Duff, if I'm saying that correctly, 24-6, his most recent fight he fought last year, actually 2 years ago, just 2019, he won by knockout. He's actually on a tremendous win streak, he's on a 13-fight win streak, so this fight actually has a lot of, stock in it for, you know, both guys, both coming off knockout wins, but one has an incredible streak on top of it. Personally, this fight, no, should not be on the main card, in my personal opinion. I agree with Keys 100% that Khalil Rountree, it's a slap in the face to Khalil Rountree that he's not even the main event on the prelims. He's the opener on the prelims. Like, you don't smack the lead right in the face and put him in first. No, he's the cleanup. You save him for last, and then he wouldn't get that smacking knockout, and you get us hyped up for the main card.
Evan, just to cut you off, I'm going to let you go 1 second, but just to point out, you could see what my grievance is, because Amanda Rivas, all right, this is another fighter, okay? I've done this one too many times. Lee knows where I'm going with this. This is another fighter that I told y'all was going to be great. This is another fighter I wrote about in my articles when I used to write for the Scrap. I told y'all she was going to be great. She was coming off like a 4-year USADA suspension, and I told y'all she was going to be epic. And what has she been? Epic. She's been stopping people left and right and putting on good performances. What I'm trying to say is that she deserves to be on the main card. You could see what my grievance is, because I went right to Jessica Eye. I think that fight, it's not that they had two female fights. It's that who they had in those fights. Amanda Rivas definitely deserves to be up there. Yes, she deserves to be up there. So, but you could see what my grievance was, because I went right to the Jessica Eye fight. That's the one that I think should be knocked off. Keep Rivas there. Totally deserving. She is a stud of a fighter. But knock Jessica Eye fight off, because the last time I saw her, she was KO'd stiff on the canvas with a head kick. So we don't really need to be seeing her up there. And you put Claire Rountree in that spot. Keep Rivas there. That's what I meant to say. I didn't mean to make it sound like I didn't want either fight. But go ahead, Evan. Keep going.
No. We get what you're saying. And the sad part about it is the only reason that Jessica Eye and Joanna Calderwood are on that card is because of just rankings. You know, if you look at the rankings, they're in the top. I believe they're probably in like the top five, top eight top five of their division. So that's where the problem lies. Yeah, you know, you got Jessica Eye is number 6, and Joanne's number 7. That's why they're on the main card. Because if you look at the rest of the main card, or not the main card, but the rest of the bottom card, most of those people are either not ranked or not in the top. They're going to be top 15 or below. So that's the only reason that card is there, and they're all hoping that Calderwood smacks the crap out of this guy. My girlfriend, who has no idea about the fights, I send her the pictures of the pre-fight cards, and she just picks the ones she wants to pick, and she even picked Calderwood. That tells you, it tells you everything you need to know. I'm sorry, but please get Jessica Eye off my main card. Get her off my screen. And I hate to be such a meanie about it, but I just can't stand her. But regardless, back to Lee's question. Sanchez Muradov should be a good one. Andrew Sanchez is a grappler, but he did get a knockout in his last fight, so you can be surprised. And as I mentioned before, Muradov is coming in with a 13-fight win streak, so that's very important to keep that going. So you never know. Sometimes they shock you, sometimes they don't. I'm hoping this one does.
Yeah, I'm kind of with I definitely feel what Key's saying. He's not saying it's a woman's fight. He's saying the name, Jessica I. Me personally, I totally agree. Me, I probably would have had Brad Tavares and Antonio Carlos Jr. open up the main event, followed by Rodriguez and Rivas. And then I probably would have had Khalil and Park Neo. Or I may have switched Khalil to opening up the main event and pushing up Rivas and Brad Tavares. And the only reason I say that is because sometimes when you have a card like this with Conor McGregor on it, this is when you want names. You want names in the main card. You want names that people know. I know Jessica I is a name that people know, but she's a name that people know for the wrong reason.
Agreed.
She's a name that people know from being almost killed again in her fight against the Bullet. So I probably would have did that. I probably would have made Jessica I and Calderwood part of the prelim main event. But hey, man, you know, I just think when you have Conor McGregor headlining a card, that you want the main card to be as stacked as possible, and you want to have a good prelim main event. And I think I versus Calderwood wouldn't have been bad as the prelim main event, but that's neither here nor there, man. We always talk about it at the UFC. Sometimes they'll sneak an unknown fighter into the main event because they want to get eyes on them, and they want that person to become a household name. And the guy that they wanted to do that for, they kicked him off the card and actually cut him. And I was actually looking forward to seeing the guy fight because I haven't never seen him fight. But when I was reading about him after he got cut, I was like, oh, damn, he might be actually pretty good. But all right, man, let's jump into it. Evan, I'm going to come to you first on this. Which fighter are you looking at on this card that you're trying to either learn more about, or you're trying to see whether or not they rebound off a loss, or can they capitalize coming off a win? So which fighter you got your eye on today, tonight?
Oh, I appreciate the question. And to be completely honest, there's two, if I may. And number one is 100% going to be Chandler. And I know that's an obvious pick, but I have a good one as well. Chandler is my number one pick because he is the guy coming over from a different promotion. He is getting a co-main event spot against a top five lightweight on a Conor McGregor pay-per-view. There's no bigger spotlight in the MMA world than this moment for this man right here. So I hope to see – I believe he is exactly what he says he is. I believe he is a top five lightweight in the world, and I can't wait for him to show it. But my pick that I'm seriously going to be watching is Khalil Roundtree, because Khalil Roundtree actually said, I don't know how long ago, but it's been maybe a few months now, that he said that his next fight was going to be his last. So I have a feeling that he might be retiring after this one. So I just want to throw that out for you guys to, if you catch that fight and he gets on the, you know, the post-fight interview and he says, yeah, I'm done, don't be surprised, because I heard it somewhere. So that's definitely my pick. I'm curious to see if, you know, if he gets the big win, if he's going to retire, if he's going to keep going.
Hold up. Time out. He only got 13 fights in the UFC.
Telling you.
So, hold on. He was on his
Instagram.
But is it his last fight in the UFC or his last fight, period?
Period. I heard him. I think someone asked about his next fight, and he was like, my next fight will be my last.
That's a shocker. I'm going to kind of read between the lines. I think Khalil Roundtree doesn't like the way he's being used in the UFC. And I'm going to say it's probably might be his last fight in the UFC. I'm going to just read between the lines on that one.
No, I ain't. I'm hoping.
What you think?
I'm very hopeful.
Yeah. All right, Keys, give me a fighter, man, or comment on your boy Khalil Roundtree. This might be his last fight in the UFC, bro, or his last fight ever.
So I don't think it'll be his last fight ever, because when you look at the guy, I mean, I want to say
– great shape.
I want to say he's like early to mid-30s in age right now. He definitely still got gas in the tank. If you look at his build and the weight, he looks great. Like I said, you got to go. If you haven't seen Khalil Roundtree when he weighed in, you got to look at that man. He looks like he looks ready. He looks ready. He's been lifting things up and putting them down. You know what I mean? He's definitely been hitting the weight, but my boy Khalil ain't playing, man. He's gonna. So I'd be surprised if it was his last fight ever. I mean, I like what you said about, you know, that maybe he don't like the way he's being treated. I mean, I wouldn't really want to see it, but I wouldn't blame him, being that he's a light heavyweight. if he were to leave the UFC and go over to Bellator, being that Bellator's light heavyweight division is kind of getting, they've acquired a couple names, and Bellator's light heavyweight division, I mean, if he were to go there, you know, he might get the fights that he's looking for. You know, get a fight with guys like Rumble, and Corey Anderson, some of these top guys that he feels like he deserves to be fighting anyways. You know what I mean? So if he were to leave the UFC, I really wouldn't doubt that Bellator would be a place that he would be looking at, you know, without a doubt. And as for my sleeper fighter, let me pull up the card again because I was just reading through it and I kind of forgot the name. So I have a sleeper overall fight. I have a sleeper overall fight that I will be looking at. And this is for both fighters.
We'll get to that right after this topic.
Okay.
You can transition into that after you give us our fighter. After you give us a real fighter, you can just transition into the fight.
Okay. So, on the main card, I'm definitely I'm with Evan on that one. I'm going to be looking at two guys on the main card. I'm going to be definitely very interested to see what Chandler's going to look like because I was watching his highlights and you know, from his previous fights, and I definitely want to see if he can hang with. What UFC talent, you know, see if he'll be able to use his wrestling. Also, at the same time, I'm going to be looking at the guy that Andrew Sanchez is fighting because I'm familiar with Andrew Sanchez, you know, for many fights. But that Mahmud Muradov, interested. He's a -143 favorite. I am interested, and I will be keeping my eye on him. He's 24-6, so I'm definitely going to be taking a look at him closely as for the main card. And then you said you want me to transition into my fight, sleeper fight?
Yeah, go ahead. Hold on, did I get my fighter?
So,
I didn't get my fighter yet.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, let me get my fighter. We talked about Khalil Roundtree. I was going to talk about him, but I'm going to go another way. And actually, I'm probably going to blow you guys' socks off with this one. Hey, man, I know we like to say in with the new, out with the old. Nick Lentz, 30-11-2. He's fighting on the early prelims against a Mosar Evlov at 150. I guess it's a catchweight fight, yeah, which I really like catchweight fights. Hey, man, I think Nick Lentz, win or lose, it's time, bro. You had a good career. You got over 40 UFC, over 40 fights on your belt. It's time. It's time, man. Because when you start getting in the 40 fight range, you know I start to worry about fighters' health. So hopefully Lentz can go out in good form tonight. Hopefully with a win, and hopefully this is his last fight, bro. Because I just worry about fighters when they start getting over 30 fights, man. It's just something about their health. And I know we talked about this earlier. I know Key said that most of these guys are going to have CTE when they retire. But I just think about the unnecessary punishment and all this. And Nick Lentz, hey, bro, you got 43 fights. This will be your 44th. Maybe you're trying to get the 45, maybe 50 fights. Nah, depending on how you look tonight, if you look good, go out on a win. If you look bad, go ahead and hang him up. But that's the fight I'm looking at tonight. I want to see how he looked after 40 professional fights. But all right, Keys, I'm coming at you, man. Give me your fight, your sleeper fight of the night, bro.
So my sleeper fight of the night is the first fight of the night, I'm pretty sure, would be before the Nick Lentz fight. This is the flyweights, and I've been pretty heavy on the flyweights lately. Pretty big on the flyweights. You know, big flyweight fan. You know, past like 6 months, 6 months to a year. But anywho, so the flyweights are going in. This guy 13-1 versus 13-4. Amir Albazi, I guess he's the number 15 flyweight. Amir the Prince Albazi versus Zalgis Zumagulov. That one, you know, both of these guys, one of them's got a 62% submission average. The other one's got a 54% KO average. So I think it doesn't have stats for either one of these guys, but this fight to me, you know, the flyweights have been really impressing me as of late, like I said, the past year or so. And, you know, the fact that I've never seen either one of these guys, I'm definitely going to be intrigued with this. And I think that, I think this is going to be a banger of a fight, you know, and also it's a pick 'em too. So that, you know, it's a minus 106 versus a minus 118. So I think this is going to be an absolute banger of a fight to kick off the card. I'm going to be looking at this fight.
Yeah. Looking at their stats, Amir Albazi, 2.55 significant strikes landed per minute, 42.86 significant strike accuracy, 3.19 takedown average, 100% takedown accuracy. So that means, you know, once he locks you up, he's taking you down, and he has a 3.19 submission average. The only thing he's actually better than Zumagulov is the takedown accuracy. Zumagulov and takedown average. Zumagulov actually is better than him in significant strikes and significant strikes on accuracy. So, yeah, this fight does have a chance to be a banger. And these kind of fights I stay away from on DraftKings. All right, Evan, give me your sleeper fight of the night, bro.
Ooh. All right. You know, sleeper fight of the night, I'm going to go with the main event of the prelims, which is Matt Pervola versus, I'm not going to try and pronounce his name because I'm going to mess it up, but the gentleman in the one corner. Yes, him. And so the reason I'm doing with that is because those two were booked to fight separate opponents. So, for example, Matt Pervola was supposed to fight the guy that got cut from the UFC, and the other guy was supposed to fight Nasparak. I forgot how to say the last name, but they call him Mini Kelvin Gastelum. So they were supposed to fight respected two different opponents. And for whatever reason, when two fighters get matched with different opponents, like 2 days like in advance or whatever, it always somehow surprises you. And I think that one's going to be a sleeper. Plus, Pervola is a major underdog in this fight. I'm pretty sure he's like a minus like 300 or something like that. Or not a minus, a plus 300, which is pretty crazy in its own right. But I get it. Oh, okay.
Right. Plus 475.
So, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, no, you see on my betting side, he's a plus 520. Wow.
God,
all right. As I was saying, like there's some odds on him. But anyway, that is my sleeper fight. I think it's begging to be watched. That's why it's the main event on the prelims. That's a great one. Make sure to tune into that one. And Matt Pervola comes from a great camp. I think he trains with. I think he trains in New York with like Sterling and I forget who else. But I'm pretty sure he's around that camp somewhere.
Yeah, he trains with Matt Serralongo fight team.
That's the one. Thank you.
Yeah. Actually, looking at for Vola, he's actually 3-1-1 in his last 5 fights. So I haven't seen him fight, but I have a sneaky suspicion that he's going to win. Mm. I don't know why he's going to win. Maybe because he's a wrestler. But I got a sneaky feeling he's going to win. My sleeper fight of the night, I'm going with the fight I said that should be on the main card, and that's Brad Tavares versus Antonio Carlos Jr. This fight is actually pretty close. They have Tavares as a minus 125 and Antonio Carlos Jr. as a plus 105. Looking at the stats, this fight is going to come down to which fighter can impose their will. Tavares wants to stand, and Antonio Carlos Jr. wants to take you down. I am very interested in this fight. I know in the old days, the wrestler used to kind of seem like they was dominating the striker for a while, but I think we're kind of like seeing that even out depending on who the fighters are. If Antonio can get him down, I think Tavares is in major trouble. If Carlos can't get him down, he might get knocked out. So this the fight I'm looking for. I thought that it should have been on the main card. But that's neither here nor there. We talked about that already. But this is a fight that I'm definitely looking for, and it's actually close. But, yeah, man, that Frivola, man, he's a plus 475, man. And then Nick Lentz is a plus 425. So, like I said, hey, let's see what happens. But here we go, man. This is the best part of the show. As we give y'all our predictions, as we move into the main card. I'm going to start with Keys, Ben and his girl, kicks off the main card. We got Marina Rodriguez, 12-1-2, taking on Amanda Ribas at 10-1. Who you got, Keys?
Okay. So I'm going with my girl Amanda Ribas, of course.
I knew that.
I don't think I could ever not pick her in a fight. And I think that this fight, I think we're going to see – and I think we're going to see some striking open in round one, probably by the end of round one. You'll see Rodriguez taken down round two. I think Ribas gets the submission. I'll probably say – I'm not sure what submission, but I'll just go with submission round two for Ribas.
And actually, I'm looking at this, looking at the stats Rodriguez is better in the striking department, and Ribas is better in the ground department. So, and the odds are Rodriguez at plus 260 and Ribas at minus 330. All right, Evan, who you got?
I'm going to go with Amanda Ribas as well. I think it's the safest pick. You know, they're building her up as the star, great personality, great skill set. She's already got some great wins. And, yeah, she's got a loss on her record, but, you know, everyone's got a good loss. But, you know, just her upcoming wins that she's got are just perfect names to continue her record. And this is just a great matchup. But I'm going to take Amanda Ribas, and I'm going to say a decision just to play it safe.
Yeah, actually, I am very intrigued by this fight because looking at the stats, it's definitely style versus style, which fighter can employ their will on the other. Keys has definitely been on Amanda Ribas for a while now. I think this fight is going to be a good fight. I think Amanda Ribas is going to go in there. She's going to try to take Rodriguez down. I think Rodriguez has okay takedown defense, but I think Rodriguez loses this fight by a split decision because Amanda Ribas is going to be too much once she starts taking her down. She's going to use a lot of feints, Ribas will, to get closer, and then she's going to take Rodriguez down, who's probably going to get frustrated. Because that's probably that I can just look at the stats and tell that being on the mat is not her strong suit. But I'm going with the Amanda Ribas, man, 10-1 and 5-0 in her last five fights. I think Marina makes a good fight though. Coming at you, Evan. Sanchez versus Maradov. Sanchez 13-5 plus 135 going against Maradov minus 160, 24-6. Who you got?
I'm thinking Maradov. Just right off the bat, I think it's going to be like someone who's got a 13-fight win streak. You're not looking to lose any time. You know, you are putting all the chips down. That is immense pressure to put on yourself. Like, you have to realize that even if you're not undefeated, you're still on an incredible win streak that, you know, and you're not, like, in the main event or, like, you're on the main card, thankfully, to, you know, to things that happened. But, like, that is just such immense pressure, and I think he comes away with a great win. I'm going to go with another decision. I can't see this one being some, you know, like, war, to be honest. I think we're just going to see, like, a probably just a safe, simple, unanimous decision for Morada.
All right, Keys, who you got, bro?
So I'm thinking I'm going with Muradov too. I don't, like I said, this is one of the guys that I'm going to have my eye on for the card because I don't think I've ever seen him fight before. But I see he has a 67% like KO percentage, TKO percentage. So I'm probably going to go with Muradov by I think you'll have back and forth for a couple rounds. I'm going to go with a third round TKO for Muradov to get the victory.
I'm going to go with the upset in this one, man. The only reason I'm going with the upset is because of something Evan said. Muradov been on a 13-fight win streak, but I'm looking at the names he beat, and I don't see any, like, top-flight names, and he's only been in the UFC for two of those wins. I don't know how my man gonna get it done, Sanchez. I think he has to, looking at the stats, he has better significant strike accuracy and he has better takedown accuracy over Muradov. So it looks like he can switch it up. I'm gonna go with Sanchez, man, by unanimous decision, man, an upset, man. I don't know why I'm picking him. But I just think he's going to pull it off. So put lead out for Sanchez by decision. Now, we move to Key's favorite fight on the card, Jessica Eye, plus 100 versus Joanne Calderwood at minus 120. All right, Keys, I think I know which way you're going with this, but just go ahead and lay it out there and put it on record.
All right, so my thing about this fight is this, right? So, first of all, I just want to note before I give any prediction, I do like the fact, if one thing that I have good to say about this matchmaking and the card placement is that at least they're doing, you know, something that we've talked about on our show. Of course we've talked about it because everything we ever say tends to happen, you know, shortly after. So, talking about getting back to the days of having – you know, number six is versus number seven, number seven versus number eight, like having the actual top guys or top girls fight the top girls and not having all these mismatches and you know, debuts fighting, you know, the number five and all this stuff, you know, get back to having the supposed best fight the best, even though I don't think Jessica Eye is the best. But, you know, in the metaphorical sense. So I do appreciate the matchmaking in that regard. But, you know, so my pick for this, I'm definitely going with JoJo Calderwood for sure. I was actually watching her embedded last night. And, you know, I've always liked her accent. I appreciate her accent very much. You know, she's kind of cute. You know, she's kind of growing on me, Calderwood. She's kind of cute. I can't lie. And what I'm trying to say is I just think she's going to box her up, man. I think Calderwood, we're going to see. I think Calderwood's going to shine here. I think, you know, I deem her to be the better striker, you know, by far. And she lands, I want to say it was 5.8 strikes per minute. And I lands, I want to say 3.7 strikes per minute. So I just think Calderwood's going to have higher volume, you know, right out the gate. I want to say she's going to box her to pieces and she's going to win a pretty wide unanimous decision. You know, it's going to be a pretty good unanimous decision, probably, you know, at least a 30-27, maybe a 30-26 in there.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and follow up. I'm going to go ahead and go now, Dan Avenue, I'm going to come to you. I think Jessica I think she's definitely a name, and I do like the matchmaking here because it's a fight that, you know, that is in the, within the top 10 of the division. I think on Jessica I definitely want to get that knockout loss out of her, you know, probably get it out of her head. But once again, she's 3-2 in her last five fights. She lost to Calvillo and she lost to Shevchenko. But I just think Calderwood has looked good here lately, and Calderwood has definitely caught our eye. I think Calderwood wins this fight by dominating Jessica Eye. I think she takes her down a lot. I think she grounds and pounds her a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if she submits on Jessica Eye. So I'm gonna take Joanne Calderwood, man, by I'm gonna say third round submission, man. Although both of them coming off losses, but I just like Calderwood. I think Calderwood is shooting up, whereas Jessica Eye, she might be trending down. So I got Joanne Calderwood third round submission. Who you got, Evan?
I'm going to keep it short and simple, Calderwood. I don't even, like, not to be rude, I just don't care for that fight at all. Like, I'm so tired of seeing Jessica Eye. She just bores me. Her style is not fun to watch. She either gets knocked out or she wins a boring decision, and I'm just tired of it. So hopefully Calderwood can get the win, and, you know, we can end that one quickly and get on to the Chandler co-main event, as we just are coming to. So,
Lee. All right, Evan, being that you brought it up, man, we got Dan Hooker welcoming Michael Chandler into the big leagues. Dan Hooker is a -140. Michael Chandler is a +120, which I'm shocked by. I thought Chandler would have been the favorite, but, maybe that's telling. So, Evan, co-main event, Hooker, Chandler, who you got?
I'm taking Michael Chandler. I think there's more I talk a lot about the outside of the fight, kind of. Like, there's more on the line, you know, versus just the fight itself. But there is a lot on the line for Dan Hooker as well. You know, coming off the loss to Poirier, he definitely needs a win. And stopping, you know, the debuting star that the UFC is trying to build will do great things for him. But I got Michael Chandler. Honestly, I think he's going to knock Dan Hooker out. I think Chandler is going to, show the world that he belonged to UFC for a long time. And now that he's finally gotten his opportunity, he's going to make a statement. And so I see a second round knockout from Michael Chandler.
Okay. Chandler, for Evan, who does Keys have in this big fight? Let us know, bro.
Okay, so I've made some. There's been some changes in my thinking. I've watched so much promo. Why does this dude laugh? I've watched so much promo for this card in the past 2 to 3 weeks. It's absolutely unbelievable. Like, the hours of embedded that I have watched, you know, the hours of behind the scenes footage that I've watched, training that I've watched, you know, guys, coaches doing interviews that I've watched, like, it's just been unbelievable. Chael Sonnen's channel that I've watched, all this stuff, you know, the DC and Helwani predictions that I've watched, like, so much content, and I've had a lot of different things come to the table. And, with that being said, you know, one thing I did say last night is that, you know, when have we seen Dan Hooker versus a legit wrestler, a high-level wrestler? And, you know, off the top of my head, I don't think that we have. Maybe we have, and I just don't recall it, but I don't think that we have. I would say, looking at the two guys, I think Michael Chandler's the more complete fighter. You know, he's got more tools in his belt, arguably more ways to win. If he, you know, takes Hooker down, we could see, you know, a lot of control time, a lot of top position time. It could be a very dominant win for Chandler. But, you know, I don't know who you said was the favorite. I'm going to go with Hooker, though. I'm going to go with Hooker. I think Hooker's going to have, every round starts back on your feet. And I think Hooker, you know, with his volume, I think his striking is going to make a big difference. And, you know, I do think he will get taken down. But at the same time, I don't think he'll get taken down too much because, you know, those guys, you know, over at, what is it, All City Kickboxing or Sub City Kickboxing, whatever that one is called, that they that gym over there with Adesanya. If you look at Adesanya's takedown defense, it's immaculate. You know, it's immaculate. And, you know, if Dan Hooker can implement that, which I think he will, because I watched his interview and it seems like he's fully prepared, you know, for Chandler to be shooting a lot in the fight. So, you know, if I'm correct here, I think Hooker, you know, gets taken down once or twice. But I don't think it'll be a clinic, though. I don't think he'll get taken down much. I think his takedown defense, I think he's coming prepared. It's going to be on point. And I think he's going to batter Chandler. And then I think, you know, we're going to be saying after, you know, first of all, a lot of Hooker fans are going to start coming out the woodwork. You know, they're going to say it. And then two is we're going to be looking at Chandler like, you know, we don't really know if he's UFC caliber. You know, that's what I think was going to happen. I didn't give the official prediction. My bad. I think it's gonna be a unanimous decision. I think it's gonna go three rounds, and you're gonna have a unanimous decision for Dan Hooker.
Man, I can't believe I'm doing this, man. I'm going with Dan Hooker, dog. I'm going with Dan Hooker by a unanimous decision as well. I think Hooker, I can't believe it, man. But I'm going with Hooker, man, because I think one thing you got to watch for with Michael Chandler, if you look at that video package that you sent us today, Keys, most of his work is done in the first round. And I think this fight will actually start in the second round. I think Hooker survives the first round, and he becomes the more aggressive fighter going into the second and third round. I was listening to Unlocking the Cage with Jimmy Smith, and he actually said exactly – I'm not biting what he said, but I had seen a couple of Michael Chandler fights, and he comes out full bore in the first round. And normally once if he doesn't get the person out of there in the first round, he starts to think a lot going into the second and third round. So I think Hooker being a UFC veteran, I think he survives the first round. He starts to implement his game plan in the second and third round. And I think if Chandler gets into the third round, he definitely becomes a fish out of water. And I think Hooker pieces him up in the third round to win a unanimous decision. I'm going with Dan Hooker, man. I can't believe I just said that, but I just question Michael Chandler once he's not able to finish you in the first round. And I think coming into the UFC, he's going to have to start becoming a game plan fighter, not just say, I'm going to rush you in the first round and get you out of there, fighter. In the UFC, most of the fighters in this division, they will adjust as the fight goes along. Some of the fighters in this division aren't just one-trick ponies, and Chandler will definitely need to add more to his game after he loses this fight to Dan Hooker. All right, here we go, folks. The main event.
Evan, by the way, how'd you take Chandler? What'd you pick for Chandler?
Second round knockout.
Okay.
All right, here we go, folks. The main event. We got the return of the notorious Conor McGregor and a rematch against Dustin Poirier, the Diamond. Both on weighing in at championship weight, which kind of worries me that something fishy might happen at the end of the fight, but I'm hoping not. So, coming to Keys, Dustin versus Conor. Conor is a -333 favorite, and Justin is +275. 25-6 for Poirier, 22-4 for Conor. Where we going at, Keys? Who you got?
So much analysis for this fight. Like I said before, all the coverage I've watched in the past 2 weeks, I've done so much analysis for this fight. it's been tremendous. You know, the amount of analysis. You know, I've been just sitting at in my room after work watching tape. You know, and like I said, watching coaches speak. You know, watching old footage, old fights, looking at records. You know, watching McGregor's fast conditioning training videos, his fast coaches there. You know, I think one point to make about this is that before I make my prediction, I just want to point out that, and I'd like to take some time too, because I figure you guys might have something to say about it. But I think that the narrative that, you know, everybody wants to seem right all the time. And I feel like I'm at a point at this point where I know enough to need to make people realize that they're not right. And I've seen this narrative going around in the past couple of weeks with a lot of fans saying, oh, well, you know, every time, you know, two fighters fight and one guy knocks out the other, every time they rematch, it's just going to be the same outcome. It's like, bro, where have you seen that happen? Where have you seen that happen? Show me the facts, because I can only think of two or three instances where that's happened. Okay, I can name way more instances where that didn't happen than when it did. That is not true. It is just not true. That is a false narrative, and that is a casual narrative. Because the thing is this, the casual fan would like to see McGregor knock out Poirier, so it sounds fun to say that. And the hardcore fans that are saying that want to sound like they know what they're talking about. Show me the stats. Show me the stats that say that that more consistently happens than it doesn't. I'm a big stats guy. I always pull out stats. So I can show you. Look, when DC fought Stipe, knocked out Stipe the first time, did he go and knock out Stipe the second time? No, he didn't. He actually got knocked out himself. You know. The only time I can think of that happening is years and years and years ago. Chuck Liddell knocked out Tito twice. And then when you fast forward, you have Henderson knocked out Bisping. When they fought the second time, Bisping won by unanimous decision. So, you know, that's kind of – I don't know where that came from. I can name more examples. I don't want to take too much time, but I'm just saying. The only modern-day examples where you see that happen is like Dillashaw and Garbrandt. You know, Dillashaw knocked out Garbrandt twice in a row. But that's the only time. That's not a common instance where that pans out. So I think that's a hoax. You know, that whole narrative is a hoax, and I think it's just, you know, propaganda for people that want McGregor to knock Poirier out again. But if you actually watch fights, I think you understand that this fight is a lot deeper than that. And Poirier is a lot better than that. And he's not just going to go in and get KO'd. He's not that chinny. When you really look at it, I can only think of two times he's ever been KO'd. You know, he KO's guys that KO's guys. I mean, he KO'd Gaethje, and Gaethje KO's everybody. You know, Gaethje will probably KO Jesus himself if he fought him. So, and Poirier KO'd Gaethje, so. I don't understand where all this comes from. I really don't. But what I'm saying here is I think the fight goes deep. I think the fight goes deep. I don't think it's going to be a knockout either way. I think it's going to be a bloodbath. I think we're going to see a decision in this fight. I think McGregor is going to prove that he's not, you know, a two-round fighter or a one-round fighter like people – like that narrative too, which is another false narrative. No, I think he's going to be very improved. He's a lot healthier for this fight. He's definitely going to come out explosive, but I think Poirier knows that. I think McGregor is going to throw heavy shots in the first round. But I think Poirier is going to weather the storm. You know, we're not looking at a Cowboy Cerrone who's been, you know, punch drunk for a while now. You know, we're not looking at a guy like that. You know, Poirier has been in five-round wars with all the best guys, and, you know, more times than not, he's the one that comes out on top in those wars. You know, look at the way he fought Max Holloway. So I think we're going to see a similar fight to, if I had to compare it, I think McGregor-Diaz too is probably the most similar to what I would predict for this fight. I think it's going to be most similar to that. But in the long run, my prediction is I'm taking Dustin Poirier by majority decision to win the fight. I think it's going to go down the stretch. And I think it's going to be, you know, you're going to see a guy who is used to doing this, you know, another day at the office, like Poirier, fights these five-round fights all the time. So it's not a place that he's new to going. McGregor does not have that many fights that go five rounds, which is not his fault because he's so powerful and he just finishes early. But it's just because of that, he doesn't have the experience, you know, fighting 25 minutes. And I think that's going to be the factor in this. You know, we're going to see improved cardio from Conor for sure. But I think you're just going to see the guy who, you know, is used to doing this all the time is going to come out in the end. And I think he's, you know, fourth and fifth round Poirier, you know, is going to come on heavy and his volume is going to be consistent the whole fight. So I think Dustin Poirier is going to win the fight by a majority decision and a complete shocker.
Okay. And going back to your rematch thing, Max Holloway KO Jose Aldo in back-to-back fights. And I think that me and you both predicted that he would knock him out the second time, two around. So, yeah, that's the most recent in a rematch where the guy KO'd the guy and then came back and KO'd him again. All right, Evan, who you got, bro? I already know who you got, but go ahead.
Oh, man. Honestly, it's kind of shocked me that Keys went with Poirier. I was, that caught me off guard.
Me too.
But what's crazy though is before he said anything, I was honestly thinking that Dustin might win because for some reason it just seems full circle for Dustin to come back, get this win, and knock Conor out, you know. Conor knocked him out. The promotion is so hell-bent on the rematch and Dustin getting revenge. And I don't know. I could see this going two ways, but I'm going to go with the expected pick, and I'm going to take Conor, and I'm going to say Conor's going to knock him out in the first round like he says he is.
Whoa. Okay, short and sweet. First-round knockout by Conor McGregor. Actually, I was definitely shocked by Key's prediction, but Keys has definitely, since we've been doing this show, he has definitely become good at fight breakdowns. I don't watch as much footage as Keys does, but I tend to go on the eye test, and my eye tests tell me that Dustin Poirier is a better fighter now than he was then against Conor. Whether that means anything or not, we will find out tonight. Somebody asked on Twitter, what is Dustin's best way to victory in this fight tonight? And my reply was, Dustin can't come in there expecting to stand and bang with Conor McGregor. Dustin Poirier has to be an all-around fighter tonight. Does he have the skills to be an all-around fighter? I say yes. I think Dustin can mix in some grappling. I think Dustin can, you know, he can, you know, he does have good boxing. I think Dustin does a lot of things. I think Dustin does more things well than Conor does. And if he employs that, he can win the fight tonight. But if he fights the fight that the fans want to see, he will get stopped again. Now, is Dustin in it for the showmanship or is Dustin in it for the win? I says Dustin Poirier is in it for the win tonight, and I'm going with Dustin Poirier winning a unanimous decision tonight. I think Dustin Poirier pulls off the first big upset of the year. I think Dustin comes in with a good game plan. I think Conor will come out in the first round, press the center of the octagon, but Dustin will have good defense. I think in the second round, you will see Dustin probably do a little bit more feinting, maybe go for a takedown or two. And then once Dustin goes for a takedown, and if he gets the takedown, Conor will start to think, okay, now I have to defend this. He isn't the same guy. And what does that do to Conor's mental in the fight? I'm going with Dustin, man. I think Dustin proves me wrong when this fight first came out, that I said Dustin would stand up and try to stand the bang with Conor. And I think he fights a well-rounded fight because he wants to win the fight. I'm going with Poirier, man, by unanimous decision.
Because, you know what, I think it just means more for Poirier to to win this fight. I don't think he's, you know, the mentality Cowboy had when he was going into it, he said, you know, he had the media scrum and the fans asked him, you know, what kind of game plan he would have. And he basically said, I'm going to give you all the fight you want to see. And that was the wrong mentality to have going into the fight. That was the wrong mentality to have. To fight that guy was the wrong mentality to have, because then he got put out in 40 seconds. So, you know, but I don't see Poirier saying that. You know, I don't. I mean, maybe someone has a clip where he did say that. I haven't seen him say that. I think he's had, you know, more or less the poker face, you know, going into this fight. And if we know anything about guys coming in with a poker face, I mean, it either means they're shook in their shoes or they just don't want to show anything. So that when they get in there, you know, it's, you know, you can let a guy get confident and then shock the world. And if you look at that, I mean, the last time we saw that kind of situation was, I want to say, when Joanna fought Rose Namajunas for the first time. Joanna was super loud, you know, super super talkative, and Rose, you know, didn't say a peep, and it was very similar thing. You know, she was respectful, but she didn't show anything. Straight poker face, and we saw how she came in, and she won the belt. So, you know, I think Poirier, that's the way he's going with it. He doesn't want to say anything about, you know, any game plan. He doesn't want to, you know, allow anything, you know, reveal anything, come in, you know, poker face and fight his fight. You know what I mean? He has more ways to win. And, you know, if he's thinking, which I know he is, then he knows that, and his coaches know that, you know, he has more routes to victory, more common. So that's my spiel on that.
All right, Evan, what you got? Evan is kind of in a bummer stage right now, Keys. He done listened to me and you, and he's like, oh my God, my man Connor might be in trouble tonight.
No. I don't even know what to say. I really don't. Y'all, Keys, you really got me. All this talk in the group chat, the Irish are back, and then you go and pick Poirier. What are we doing here? What kind of show is this?
Objectivity,
man. Evan sounds deflated right now. He sounds deflated.
Yeah, already, man. We ain't even walked out yet.
I got nothing left. I got nothing left.
All right, I want to ask you guys something real quick. I know we kind of went over some. We'll just make it real quick. Yesterday, I sent a tweet out from our shared Twitter account, Lee Keys and Evan Real Talk, and I'm gonna read the tweet. And I want you guys to weigh in on what I said. I said some of Conor fans don't like the calm and collect demeanor that he has displayed. I think this has always been in him, but he knew in the fight game the loudest mouth gets the biggest check. He will never make the boxing money in the UFC, so he has decided to respect the sport, and I like that. Do you guys agree with me, or do you think it's something else about Conor that has, like, calmed him down and made him, I want to say, more likable? I mean, I know he got a lot of fans, but I think he's becoming more likable to people that were more his detractors like myself. And I kind of like this guy. I kind of like the Conor I see. He's braggadocious without going overboard like he was early in his career. What you guys think?
Evan, you want to go?
Yeah, I got this one. No, I agree. And I personally like the calm demeanor. It's just we all know when Conor gets signed to fight that they're all expecting the trash talk, but you got, like you said, everybody's got to remember, you know, people trash talk because they want to sell a fight, you know, they're the up and comer. They want to, you know, like you want to feed and you want to get some money, but like Conor's already making money. Conor's opponent's already making money. It just, there's no need to do the trash talk anymore. Like it's banter. It's healthy, respectful, competitive banter, as Conor said, especially in their face off. It's very, you know, they were serious. They were coming for, like, they were like, we're going to do it. Like, we're going to, you know, we're going to fight. But then they're, you know, all nice and huggy after they just done staring at each other to death. So I'm fine with it. I'm fine with the calm, collected demeanor.
Keys?
Okay, so now this is kind of an I told you so moment right here. I'm feeling very good about this. Now, while this is very much
I told you so moment.
This is a very I told you so moment right now. I feel very good about this. And meanwhile, that I know I have Evan feeling deflated and shocked that I picked Poirier. Don't make any mistake. I will be going nuts tonight. I'm going to be buying two bottles of Proper 12. I already looked up the Southpaw Power Punch that I'm going to be making is on the Proper Whiskey Instagram page. They posted the recipe for it. So I'm going to be making that. I'm going to go buy two bottles at the store after this. But what I'm trying to say to you is this. This is an I told you so moment because, and I'm going to be vocal about it, you know, going forward, because I told everybody way back in 2017, which was 4 years ago at this point, seems kind of crazy. They said after he fights Mayweather, he's done. Why would you ever take a punch again? Why would you fight? You know, $100 million, he has the whiskey, all this. You know, he's never going to fight. And, man, I told everybody, including you, Lee, I told you too. I said he's going to fight. And the reason is because for the love of the game, he's going to come back because he loves to. And it's not because of money. Everyone said it was because of the money, and the money was going to make him lazy, and he wasn't going to want to do anything. Now, don't get me wrong. He did go into a dark patch, and he did have a very bad patch of time that I'm not proud of, and it made it very difficult to be a fan of him because I couldn't get behind the things he was doing and the things he was saying. So don't get me wrong in that aspect. But what I'm saying is I think the money, the Mayweather fight was probably the worst thing ever, not for his career because obviously it boosted his name, so I can't really say it's the worst for his career. I would say it was the worst for his competitive spirit and for his passion of fighting. Because it brought him, it made him see the fight game in a different light, and it brought him into a different perspective of it than what is natural to him. And his natural perspective of it is the fight itself. The perspective it brought him to was all about the fame and the bright lights and being relevant. And that's not the way that he is. That's not who he is. So I told everybody, I said it's a I told you so moment. I told everybody he would come back to fight for the love of the game and he would restore himself and he would make it back and he would come back and fight the top guys at lightweight. And look at this. So we are seeing him back fighting the top guys at lightweight. And we saw the face-off. He's over there, you know, arm in arm. Him and Poirier are hugging at the face-off. You know, they're trying each other's whiskey and hot sauce. You know, Connor said at the press conference he wants to try Dustin's hot sauce. Dustin said, I have a bottle for you after the fight on Sunday. So this is the guy that I, you know, became a fan of in the first place. And, you know, I have no problem with nice Connor. I think it's great. I have no problem with it at all. I have the same excitement for the fight as I would for any of his other fights. You know, I'm maybe even more excited. Like I said, I've been watching promo for 2-3 weeks straight. You know, since New Year's Day, I've been watching promo for this fight and for this card. Mm-hmm. So my excitement is no different. And this is the guy that I told everybody that he still was and that would come back around and would want to fight for the love of fighting. And so now he's here. And to answer your question, I think it's great. Nice Connor, no problem with it at all. I have no problem with the respective press conference where all the guys are kind of, you know, acknowledging each other's accomplishments and McGregor included. I don't need any trash talk. I just love to see him love to fight. So that's my answer for that.
And I'm going to follow up and say, yes, you did tell me after the Mayweather fight that he would come back and fight. I felt that he would come back and fight for all the wrong reasons. I thought he would come back and fight, just to, you know, make money. And everybody that listens to this show know that I'm definitely not a fan of the super over-the-line trash talk. I think there's a line that you shouldn't cross. And I think Conor crossed that line with the Khabib fight. And I think that after that fight, I think he did some reflection on himself. And he was like, do I really have to do that, go this route to be looked at in a certain way? And I think he regrouped and he remarketed himself. And I like what he's done now. He's a very likable guy to me now. I find myself now when he talks, I listen a little more. I still, the braggadocious, I like it. But I think his respect for the UFC is definitely there. And I'm looking forward to tonight, man. I'm looking forward to what he says after the fight. I think what we get after the fight in a win or a loss is what we all should be looking at tonight. But, hey, man, I wasn't the biggest Conor fan, but slowly I'm coming around, and I'm really liking what I see, man. And, hey, I'm wishing both fighters a great night tonight. Both of them be healthy after the fight. Wishing all the fighters good health tonight and after the fights. That being said, Lee, Keys, and Evan, real talk, giving you this all UFC 257 preview. Hopefully everybody can watch the fight and whatnot. You can go out and watch it or watch it from home. I'll be watching from home. And Keys, don't waste your money on that proper 12. Go get some Jameson, bro. That being said, Evan, any last words, man?
Nah, man. Just thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for listening, all that jazz. Very excited to be doing this on fight night, fight day. It's just so much fun to talk about it and then get to go and watch it in the same day. Like you said, can't wait.
Yeah.
Hope everybody gets to watch it. And don't listen to Lee. Get some proper 12. I'm just kidding. Have a good night.
All right, Keys, any last words, bro?
So my last words is this. Everybody enjoy yourself and have a good night. When I saw the face-off with Poirier and McGregor, I actually, my eyes filled up. I actually teared up when I saw that face-off because it was so, the way that they were both so locked in, but they were so happy to be competing with each other and being up there with each other. And then the fact that they, you know, were arm-in-arm and they kind of like both, you know, faced the crowd at the end, that had me filled up. I was emotional. I was emotional, and it's been a told you so journey here, and we have arrived, and it was so great to see that because you don't often see any of these guys do things like that. You see a handshake, and that's it. If they're, you know, if it's a you know, a fun fight like that, you know, it's, you know, like, you know, Chiesa and Magny, you know, it's like that. It's the guys, you know, they respect each other, and but it's still subtle. This one was like they were loving the fact that they were, you know, these dudes, they like each other. Like, these dudes are very friendly, and it was just so nice to see that, you know. Like, it, Lee thinks that I love all the, you know, Lee thinks I love all the disrespect and things like that, but nah, he don't know. But,
No, that's not true because we done talked about trash talk before, and me and you was kind of on the same line that there is a line that you shouldn't cross with the trash talk. And because I want to say it wasn't the Dustin Khabib fight, it was a fight before that the trash talk was just disrespectful to a point. And me and you was like, man, this shit here got to stop, man. But hey, man, I'm definitely looking forward to tonight. It's my birthday present to myself. I'll probably be downstairs in my basement watching it by myself, probably with some vanilla Crown and cream soda and a nice cold beer. So, yeah, I'll be watching tonight. And, hey, everybody, have fun tonight. Stay safe. Wear your mask. Practice social distancing. Closing out the show, like I said, 2021. Positive people with positive energy yield positive results. Lee.
And follow
Keys
us on Twitter.
And follow us on Twitter.
Follow us
Lee
on
Keys.
Twitter.
LKE Real Talk at Twitter.
Yep.
Is that it?
LKE Real on Twitter. They robbed us of the talk. So at LKE Real, I'm just working on fixing it. But go at us and tag us. For now, we got some of our fight picks up there, so we could definitely talk about the fights on the timeline. We're always active on the page, at least one of us. So go follow us on Twitter and show us some love. We will show you some love. And yeah, everybody enjoy the fights, Lee. I'll give you the floor back.
Yeah. I will be tweeting throughout the main card. I might start with the Hooker fight. It all depends on when I get on. It all depends on when my grandkids leave, actually.
Lee's gonna give his biggest analysis and closest eye to Dan Hooker's performance. That's gonna be his that. I think he lied to y'all. Dan Hooker is his fighter to watch on this card. That's his fighter to watch,
man.
Y'all. Don't let him fool you.
Hey, man, you know what? Actually, he was like my second choice, man. He was my second choice, to be honest. But look, man, y'all have a good day, bro. Next Wednesday, we'll get back together. We'll review this show. I'm quite sure we'll have a lot to talk about next Wednesday. We might even go back to the Max Holloway-Kevin Cater fight. I really don't think we need to talk about Neil Magny and Michael Chiesa. But, hey, man, y'all have a good day, bro. Talk to y'all later. And to all people that's listening, once again, y'all stay safe. And always in closing the show out, we always want to end with a peace.